As a New Testament Christian, it may just be the most important series that I can preach on. And I don't say that to just put some blanket of sensationalism over this service to get your attention. It's the truth. And this topic that we're going to talk about, it absolutely changed my life, my whole world, you know. I can look at myself as a Christian in two different time frames, before this and after this. You can look at Peter's life as a follower of Jesus before this and after this and see a great, great difference. And for those of you that are familiar with what we're going to be talking about when we get into it, what this series will do is say, well, I've heard this for years. I've known this for years. Unless you're partaking of it in a great measure, you haven't got the revelation of what God's trying to get across to you. It will rejuvenate you, and it'll light a fire under you going forward in 2020 to be a catalyst for change in your life and those around you. For those that are unfamiliar, maybe what the Bible would call it, this topic, and we'll look at that in the series, unlearned maybe. You could say ignorant in that way, which we're all ignorant until we're not anymore. Maybe haven't been taught. Maybe it's been taught. You've been taught against it. You're skeptical. I'm thrilled for you because this will change everything in your life, and it'll be a place that you look back on in your life as a marker, and say from that place things got different. Amen. And so I'm excited about that. But let's pray and believe God for utterance. You're not here to hear from me. You're here to hear from Him. Father, we're just so grateful. Father, we're just so thankful for the Word of God. Now, Lord, I thank You that as I open my mouth, You'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank You that my words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, may I speak as the oracles of God, and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank You that as I open my mouth, the words from heaven that flow from my lips will hit the hearts of every person here. And Father, things will be said tonight that will be so pertinent to their life, and their circumstances, and the situations they're facing, and the seasons of life that they're in. Father, it'll be so supernatural, they'll think to themselves, how in the world did He know I needed to hear that? And the truth is, Father, I didn't, but You did, and that's what You do. You're a supernatural God. And so, Father, we thank You for help tonight. We thank You for instruction. We thank You for impartation. We thank You for revelation. Give us ears to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to us tonight, and we'll give You all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Acts chapter 1. If you don't, we have it up on the screen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 is where we're going to start. Besides the subject of faith, there's no other subject I enjoy preaching on more because of the impact that it has on people's lives, but also the wrong thinking about things. Amen. And I always say this, I always stress this from the get-go. Who gives a flooty-tootie? Who gives a rip what Pastor Mike Anderson says? Who gives a rip what the TV preacher says? Who gives a rip what any reverend behind a pulpit says? It's not about what people say, it's about what the Word of God says. Amen? And we need to see what the Bible says about things, and we'll talk a little bit about that. I have direction of which way to go here tonight, but I'm excited because there's so much wrong thinking, so much wrong teaching, so much ignorance on this subject. And people, you know, the Bible says they that are ignorant, Jesus said you'll be trapped. See what He did? Yeah, I remember He said, if you know the truth, you'll be set free. Lack of knowledge doesn't get you free, it binds you. Remember in Hosea 4:6, He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And when people don't know, they can't partake of something. Think about salvation. Until you knew about Jesus, you didn't get saved. You had to know first. And so Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, and we'll tell you what we're going to talk about here, and we'll lay some groundwork for where we're going in this series. It says, the former treaties I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. So remember, this is after Jesus has died and rose again. He's now assembled with his disciples, and we know that when the fruition of this came, there was 120 of them. There could have been more. There should have been more. Remember, the Bible says Jesus appeared to 500 people. And he wouldn't give to some and not give to all. He's no respecter of persons. He wants, I don't give to one child, not give to the other. I bless my kids equally, praise God. And but there was 120 of them anyways. But it says, being assembled together with them, notice his wording here, commanded them. Didn't suggest, didn't say it would be a good idea. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you have heard of me. So he's with his disciples. He's born. They're born again now because he's raised, been raised from the dead. You know, how does one get saved? They confess Jesus is Lord, believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. They're all born again Christians now. And they're with him, and now he's getting ready to go up to heaven, which we'll see in a little bit. But he commands them something. He says, don't depart from Jerusalem. You stay here until you receive the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Now he's going to tell us what that promise is in verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, or not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So, he tells them in verse 8 what's going to happen when that Holy Ghost, verse 5, remember he said, John baptized with water. He said, but you're going to be baptized with something different now. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and verse 8 tells us, when that happens, you'll receive power. And he said, don't leave until you get this power. Amen? Well, then we see, so what we're talking about in this series, and I'll lay the groundwork to not to scare you, is we're talking about a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to go further into this before I lay the groundwork of what we're going to see in this series. And if you'll stick with me, we are going to look at this up, down, and sideways. The Bible is not quiet on this subject. Churches are quiet on this subject. When it comes to the things of the Holy Ghost, I'm just telling you, where I grew up, where my wife grew up, where a lot of you grew up, you know, we praise the Father and we shout about the Son. But when it comes to the Holy Ghost, we're hush, hush, hush. And it's wrong because God is in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And the only part of the Trinity or the Godhead still on the earth is the Holy Ghost. And yet he's the only part of the Trinity that's pushed out of the local church because people don't know much about it. You know, there's whole portions of in Scripture and chapters and books in the Bible that whole denominations skip right over, that they preach against, don't have Scripture for. I'm going to go over some of that stuff tonight. But I promise you, if you'll stick with me, through this series, I'm preaching the same series in South Dayton. So if you can't be here on a Saturday, you can come out to South Dayton on a Sunday. We're going to be going right parallel together preaching this. I'm going to preach the same message tomorrow morning. It'll come out a little different. It always does with different people. But if you'll stay with me, we'll show you clearly in the Word. And you'll feel like I felt after I saw what the Word says. Where's this been my whole life? Where's this been my whole life? So then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. So remember, Jesus says, don't leave till you get this Holy Ghost business, right? He didn't suggest that he commanded it. He said, don't leave till you get it. Well, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were in one accord in one place. So they're there, they obeyed him. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled, or you could say it this way, baptized with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, don't leave. Because if you leave, you're going to be without this power. This power is not the water that John used to baptize with. This is the baptism of fire by the Holy Ghost. And if you receive this baptism, you'll receive power. That word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. It's the supernatural power. God is telling his people, I don't want you to go out into the world where they're attacking and after you without my supernatural help. I'm not suggesting this. I'm not saying it'd be a good idea. I'm commanding you not to do it. Well, they listened, at least 120 of them did, and they were in the upper room the day of Pentecost when it came. If you study it out in the verses before, there was 120 of them there. And what happened? The Holy Ghost came, baptized them, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, didn't they? Now, there is a lot of misconception and a lot of fear when you mention the words baptism of the Holy Ghost and you mention the word tongues in church. And a lot of the reason is rightly so. Because people have gotten into a ditch on things. And every service is swinging from the chandeliers. No order. Complete chaos. People doing their own things, right? And that turns people off. But then there's another ditch on the other side of the road that they don't talk about any of this. That we're just going to skip over whole portions of the Bible because it's uncomfortable to us or we don't understand. But praise be to God, if there's a ditch on one side and there's a ditch on the other side, there's also a middle of the road that we can fall into. Hallelujah. And the Bible says we ought to get there, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But I want to tell you about this series. This is responsible. The thing that's responsible, besides my salvation, for changing my life more than anything else. Why? Because it's when the supernatural power came into my life. Look at Peter. Before this, what was he doing? Denying Jesus to three people. Remember? When the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Remember he said that? One of them was a little girl. That's how wimpy and weak he was. And now we see Peter, after he receives this, he's like a lion on the earth, willing to be crucified for Jesus, preaching the gospel in the face of opposition and people against him. Why? The difference between no power and power. I can tell you for myself, it's the same thing. I can tell you for so many people that are in here right now, and the multitudes at South Dayton will say to me, Pastor Mike, this is what I was missing my whole life. This is what I always knew there was more. I always felt like there was more. I always felt, well, they got their mind renewed to the Word, were willing to see what the Bible said, accepted what the Word said, and had their lives changed forever. Praise God. Now, like I said, we're going to look at it up, down, and sideways. Because what is this baptism of the Holy Ghost business? What is this speaking in tongues business? Well, I know what a lot of people say it is. I know a lot of people think it is. But why don't we just go to the source? Yeah. When you're going to feel so robbed. Now, listen, I encourage you to stick out this series. If you never want to come back here again. But I'm telling you what, you will be at the end of the series, just say, my goodness, it's all over the place. And it's clear. It's clear. Where I grew up, it wasn't clear. Where many of you grew up, it wasn't clear. But God wants us to get something from Him. Now, I'm going to assure you, where I came from, it was never taught to me. And it was spoken against, you know. And the thing that's interesting is nobody had scripture on why. They would take an obscure passage out of the Bible, make it say whatever they wanted. That's not how you build a doctrine. You know how you build a doctrine? The mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. How do you think cults get started? People that people respect say things and they just... Can I just encourage you not to be a baby bird? What's a baby bird? A baby bird sits in the nest with its mouth open. Mama can drop anything in that little birdie's mouth. Mama could come swooping into that nest and drop a little a little firecracker that's lit in that baby bird's mouth. And guess what that baby bird's going to do? Nope. So many Christians are baby birds. They sit in the seats. They sit behind televisions. And that person, boy, they look nice in a suit. Wow, look at their ministry. Wow, their church is big. They got a lot of programs going on. Who gives a rip? It's got to be in the Bible. It's got to be the Word. I believe that's why the devil fights this church so hard, because we will stick with the Bible no matter what. I don't care if it's popular. I'm not trying to be the most popular pastor around. I'm trying to be the most faithful. I'm going to show you in the Word tonight, Jesus was not the most popular preacher around. Amen. And He was as perfect as they come. But I'm trying to get a point across to you, because we're all in different places. We all come from different backgrounds. Hallelujah. And I know this by the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I've already received this. I'm walking in this. This series is going to do something for you. It's going to catapult you and light a fire into you, because God wants to get more into you. But again, let's start right now and say this. Don't take my word for any of this. If you can't see it clearly in the Bible, multiple places, just throw it out. Run for the hills. In fact, I encourage you. Don't, If the place you're going is not preaching the uncompromising word of God, run for the hills, this place included. Amen. But I'll tell you what, we're going to stick with it. I want to be found faithful, praise God. Notice this about this. What about this baptism of the Holy Ghost? What about this speaking in tongues business? Well, isn't it interesting? Jesus' words in Acts chapter 1. What did he say? I command you. You can't go out without this. It's interesting how we're big on the Ten Commandments. You know, we give them reverence and honor as we should. Thou shalt not steal. We believe in that. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name. You know, all of them, we're big on them because they're commandments. Yet Jesus said to them, don't you leave till you get this. What am I saying? There was weight behind what he was saying. Well, why if... Now think about this. If we read on in Acts chapter 1, after he got done speaking this to the disciples, he was taken up in a cloud out of heaven and the angels appeared, right? And they said, why do you stand up here gazing into heaven? That man that you saw go, he's going to come back someday. Well, Jesus left. So what's interesting is, the last thing that he ever said to anybody on earth, to me, would be something that would be worth paying attention to. He's got one shot left at him and he's zipping out of here. And he doesn't mince his words. He commands them and tells them, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Did he not? The last thing he told them. There's weight on what he's saying. Well, when you see in the Word why he said that, it'll be more clear to you. And that's what we're going to look at. But go with me real quick to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. I can't stress this enough. Who cares what I say? Who cares what I think? But in the same notion, we have to say this. Who cares what you think?
Yeah, that's right.
Who cares what so-and-so told you? If it's not the Bible, I don't care if it was grandma, grandpa, preacher so-and-so, friend so-and-so. Listen, it's the Word that changes our lives, not opinions. Not philosophies. Not theories. Not ideas of men that change our lives. Well, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Notice this, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if you can rightly divide the word, you certainly can wrongly divide the word. Amen. It's true. How many people wrongly divide God's word? Make it spin the way they want. I don't want to spin it anyway, but his way. Amen. Why? Because his way is best. His way is how we're going to receive. Praise God. You know what I want my church to look like? The Bible. How many stereotypes? People say, what kind of church are you? Pentecostal? Are you charismatic? No, I'm Word.
Amen.
Word of God. I'm not trying to look like something or be something. I want to be faithful.
Amen.
I know that if I get the Word to people, that's the most blessed they can be because it's the Word that sets you free.
Amen.
It's not opinions. It's not philosophies and theories. Hallelujah. And so, who cares what I think? Who cares what you think? Who cares what so-and-so thinks? Let's find out once and for all, what does the Bible say about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What does the Bible say about this tongues business? Because I know if you're like me, you've heard a lot about it. You've heard a lot of naysayers. You've heard a lot of criticism. You've heard a lot of ooky and spooky things. But what about the Bible? Praise God. I want to show you a few things. We're laying the groundwork for this series. Because in this series, I will show you what we're going to see. We're going to clearly see in the Word that it's a separate experience from salvation. We're going to see that it's available for everybody. Now, this isn't just my opinion. We will show you clearly in the Word in this series. We'll show you that it didn't pass away during Bible times like they try to tell us.
Right.
As if God gave them something that they would need but left it out for us because we're any different. No, we're just as much God's children in 2020 as they were in whatever year it was. But somehow, in the church age goes by, men's ideas get in and they start saying, there's expiration dates. I've yet to find one. The only expiration date I found in my Bible is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That's the only expiration date I found. Nowhere in the Word do you find, well, this passed away with the apostles. Well, this passed away when the church age, when the Bible ended. Now, that's what people tell you. They don't have verses on it. But that's what they tell you. Why? When you see the benefits of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and what it'll do for your life, it'll show you the devil is scared out of his mind that you would receive it. So he is so against this because it'll change your life. Imagine if they would have said to Jesus, "Sir, that's a little weird to us." Jesus said, "If you go out without supernatural power, you'll be in trouble." What if they'd have said, because I want you to know that the enemy that's against you is not a natural enemy. He's a supernatural enemy. The devil's supernatural. You can't beat him on your own net. You need to be strong in the power of the Lord. And Jesus told him, Jesus, you know what? That's not for me. That's for that church down the road. Okay, go out without power and see what life looks like. But on the same notion, you add power to your life, supernatural power, woohoo! Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth. We're going to see exactly what the Bible says tongues is. And when you see what the Bible defines it, it takes away all the weird, all the ooky, all the spooky. It used to be ooky and spooky to me too until someone finally showed me the Bible instead of yapping their opinions in my ear. We're going to see the benefits and why is it. We're going to see in the Word what the naysayers say. The scriptures that they use to say it's not for today. And we're going to show you and you're going to be like, "What in the world was I listening to?" I'm just telling you, it's the way it's going to be. Amen. Praise God. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. When it comes to the Bible, you have to understand some things in certain topics. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Laying groundwork here. Notice it says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, the natural man. That's your flesh and blood. The natural man, the Bible says, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. You have to understand this principle going forward. And when I show you what happened to Jesus, it'll make so much sense to you. The Bible says the natural man, flesh and blood, your mind, your flesh, how you feel, your emotions, can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them. What he's saying is there are principles. Godly principles, spiritual principles that your flesh and your mind are going to kick against, fight against, and say, no. Why? The Bible says there are things that are foolish to your mind and flesh, but they're God. That's what it says. He says they're not, you can't know them naturally because they're spiritually discerned. Praise God. Now go with me to John 6 and verse 63. Remember Jesus, or the Word just said, that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can you receive them, for they are not naturally discerned, they're spiritually discerned. But look at John 6, verse 63. Look what Jesus said. It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits you nothing. Now look at this. The words. Everybody say the words. The words. Get this principle down right now. It'll help you with this series. The words I speak to you, they are spirit. What's that mean? They're not natural. And remember what the verse told us before? The natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. What are some things of the Spirit of God? The words of Christ. The Word of God. He said, my words are spirit. Well, you know what that tells us? That there are things that Jesus himself will say that will drive people's flesh and mind bonkers and make you be uncomfortable and make you want to just push against it? Absolutely. Do you see it there? Say, certainly that couldn't have happened to Jesus, but it did. Now, can we all agree on something? That everything that fell from the Master's lips was perfection? He's perfect. Remember what he said in John 5, 19 and verse 30. He said, I only say and do what I hear him say and what I see him do. What's he say? I'm a God robot. I'm only saying it if God wants me to say it. God's perfect. I'm only doing what God wants me to do. You ever want a good picture of who God is? Just look at Jesus. Jesus was walking, talking, what? Emmanuel. The God in the flesh. God among us. Dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, Jesus said, my words are spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 said, the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness in them. So that tells me there are times, and I've encountered many of them, so have you. In fact, some of you here tonight might be like, oh boy, this is one of those churches. Yeah, it is one of those churches. One of these churches. A New Testament Bible church. Not a weird in the ditch, let's be fruity, flaky, and nutty, the granola section type church. The Word of God church. How do you stay safe from when people say things to you? The Word of God is your safety net. When you start getting out into a high wire act, right? And when somebody starts walking on that high wire and they're walking out there, if there's no net underneath them, the higher up they are and the farther they get out and away from the foundation of land or wherever they're at, or there's solid ground underneath them, it's scarier and scarier with no net. Well, when you start getting out into things that are scary to your flesh, you know what keeps you safe? When somebody has a net underneath them, it changes everything. It's not the same doing this hundreds and hundreds of feet up in the air with no net. It's different experience when you have a net underneath you. Changes the whole thing. Well, how when you start getting out into the spirit realm with things that your flesh has never heard, uncomfortable, they've been taught against, things that have been weird to you, how do you know you're safe? If it's the Word of God. Because the Word keeps us safe from our feelings and our thoughts. Because our feelings and our thoughts, the Bible tells us, will kick against the Word. So the Word, when our flesh says yuck and no, I don't want to do that, I don't like that, the Word of God helps us to know, okay, we're safe. We're safe. This doesn't feel good, and I'm not used to this, and it's uncomfortable to me. This is not what I've been taught. But the Word says it, and I can't deny it, and the Word's never going to change. Your job is to conform to the Word. His job is not to conform the Word to you and your comfort level. Oh, we have a lot of seeker-sensitive churches around. Just preaching fluff to people. Why? Because the pastors want their seats filled. And they don't talk about holiness. And they don't talk about what to do with your money. And they don't talk about the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's not good to the flesh. And when people don't like what they're hearing, they tend to leave. I don't give a rip if we have empty seats. They don't bother me. Because the hungry ones will come. And the hungry ones will plant. And the hungry ones will see the Word and say, I'm going the way of the Word. It ain't a family church thing. It ain't a Pastor Mike Anderson thing. It's a Word of God thing. And there's so many seeker-sensitive. What's a seeker-sensitive church? A flesh church. What's a flesh church? They cater to the flesh. Get up there and just talk about, you know, the sin's running rampant through the church. The kids are off doing, nobody's accountable for anything. Do whatever you want with your money. Do whatever you want in relationships. Live however you want. Go wherever you want. Look at whatever you want. That ain't what the Bible tells us to do. But people want their seats filled. I don't care. He called me to start a church in South Dayton, New York. I'm not worried about seats being filled. 600 person town. But the seats are filled. Praise God. Because people are getting hungry for the Word. Amen. This is the truth. Well, I want to show you something here. Praise God. Because if you're going to receive from this in anything going forward, you know, I'll bring it back to offering. The Word is clear on what to do with your money. You know what that does to people's flesh when they find out what God said to do about their money? I know what it did to my flesh. Wigged my flesh out. Wait, what? Tithe? You see my bills? What do you mean? On top of that, give offerings, Lord? Wait, you're going to say something to my heart that's going to make my eyeballs spin? And your flesh kicks against it. What about when the Bible tells you no matter what anybody's done against you in Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody. Well, some people have been really wronged in life. And when they hear to forgive no matter what's been done to them, you think their flesh enjoys that? No, but they're blessed when they renew their mind to the Word and go past their flesh and do what the Bible says. It's the truth. Amen. I've had to deal with parents and how to raise their children. Because the Bible tells us, but I'll tell you what, the way that most people in the church are in the body of Christ, are raising their kids, oh, they're going to have some problems on their hands when their kids get older. Won't discipline them, won't do what the Bible says to do. Why? Want to be buddy-buddy. Bible called me to train my children. Yes, to love them, but there's things that make parents naturally uncomfortable in their flesh. Discipline and correction. And what are you going to do? What you feel's right or the Word? This is the same thing. From this point forward, going forward in your life, not just with this subject, be a person that's going to say, I'm willing to look past how I feel. I'm willing to look past what I've been taught and what I think. And if it's in the Bible, by golly, I'm going to renew my mind to the Word and go the way of the Word. Now let me show you something here. You're going to be amazed when you see this. Because if we're going to receive from God going forward, we got to get rid of our comfort. We got to get rid of our traditions. We got to get rid of opinions. We got to get rid of philosophies, theories of people we respect, and say, if it's not the Bible, I don't want it. Go with me to John 6 and verse 53. Oh, you wait to see this. John 6 and verse 53. Now remember, we already agreed. Everything that fell from the Master's lips was perfection. Right? Would you all agree with that? He never said anything that was wrong doctrinally. He never said anything that he put his own twist on it. No, he stayed right dead center in the middle of the Word of God and the plan of God. And look at what he says here. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat." Now he's stepping on their toes. He's talking about their traditions. He's saying this ain't the bread that Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Isaac ate. What's he doing? Stepping on their sacred doctrines, their pet cows, their traditions. What's he doing? He's petting their fur backwards. Mowing their grass sideways. Getting up under their chin. He said, this ain't the bread that you're used to. Woohoo! You start talking about people's traditions. Oh man, they'll start shooting daggers at you with their eyes. It's true. Traditions don't set you free. The Word of God sets you free. I can say this confidently because they're not, first of all, they're not listening by live stream, but it's just the truth. My wife's family, I won't say what they're ingrained in. They are so faithful to go to church. They are so faithful to not miss a service. They are so faithful to stick to traditions of man. Things that the Bible doesn't even teach. And they think, say, could that really happen? Remember what Paul told the Jews? He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that you'd be saved." He said, "You have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Remember the Jews, they thought, "We don't need Jesus. We're God's people." Well, Paul said, "Yeah, you're zealous for God, but it's not according to knowledge. It's wrong." I have family members, they have no power in their life. No change, no relationship with Him because they're clinging to things that men put forth that you can't find one scripture on. That's dangerous. That is dangerous. But people all over the world are doing it in churches. Just stand up and let the preacher preach and baby birds, gulp, 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 gulp. No, it can't be that way. You got to be skillful with what God has said. And Jesus is stepping on their toes now and He says, this isn't the bread which... This bread came down from heaven, not as your fathers that eat manna and are dead. Man, just he's putting the nail in the coffin. He is. I love it. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now we know that what he's preaching here is 100% correct. Amen. It's smack dab, Word of God. Right? Verse 59 in Capernaum, then he goes on to 60. Many, now this is what you have to understand. Many, therefore, of His, everybody say His. His who? Wait, who? You know what disciples are? People that follow Him. That have been with Him. That have received of Him. From one sermon, when He opened His mouth, and the Word of God fell from His lips, and rubbed their flesh the wrong way, stepped on their toes, made them feel, here's something that was uncomfortable, that they didn't understand, that was weird to them, weird to their flesh. What's he talking about? Eat the flesh and drink the blood, not the bread of our... What's he talking about? Why is he bashing our traditions? One sermon. Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus in himself heard his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Oh yeah, the word will offend people. What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Now here it is. It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and their life. For there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would believe not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. Now look at this, verse 66. From that time, what's the next word after time? Many. Not a few. Many. Jesus' church dwindled in numbers significantly from one sermon that he preached that was perfect, that was Word of God, that was Spirit-led, that was doctrinally sound, that was 100% bullseye, but people heard it, and what'd they say? We can't do this. From this time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now think about that decision they made. Because this might not be the thing that causes you to stumble. Maybe it'll be the time when Pastor Mike preaches on biblical prosperity and hammers about what God says to do about your money. And it's a hard thing for you to hear. And your flesh doesn't like hearing being told what to do with your money. Maybe it'll be when I teach on parenting or relationships and husbands and wives and what the Bible says to do. Maybe that'll be the thing that'll step on your toes. If it's not this, something will. Why? Because your flesh. You need to make up your mind right now, Lord, whatever you have for me, I don't care how bad it hurts going down, I want it. Amen. It's not the things we're doing right that are hurting us. Yeah. It's the things we're doing wrong. And ignorance in the Word is so dangerous. I was ignorant for so long as a Christian. As a Christian. Born again, blood-bought, child of God. Ignorant, destroyed. Notice Jesus didn't say that you'll be set free because there's truth. What do I always say? This book sits on the Walmart shelves all over the world, and thousands upon millions of people walk by this every day, unsaved. If they die, they're on their way to hell. What do they do? Walking by the truth. What's that book have in it? The power to save them. But it's right there. Why isn't there? Why aren't they getting saved? Until they become unignorant. Until they know the truth, they can't be set free. It's the truth. The power is here, but it's not the word that sets you free. It's the known word that sets you free. Amen. And here I was, a born-again Christian, child of God. Had I died, I'd have gone to heaven. I received him on January 10th, 2002. Just had my 18-year spiritual birthday on Friday. In a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania, my life was changed forever. And for a period of time, guess what? I stayed broke. I stayed sick in body. I stayed sick in mind. I had all those addictions of drugs and alcohol and gambling and promiscuous living running rampant in my life. Nothing changing and I'm born again. But you know what happened when Pastor Mike got the word in him and I started to learn about divine healing and I started to learn about finances and I started to learn about how to overcome these things of the world? Things started busting off me. It didn't happen when I got born again. There's a lot of Christians, you know them, I know them, that are born again and life is hell on earth and yet they're God's children. Is God just looking at them and saying, to heck with you? No. You got to cooperate with his word. And Jesus said, from this time, many turned away and followed him no more. Now think about the decision they made. What did they miss out on? Because they were unwilling to say, okay, I might not know everything. Amen? Let me tell you a story because it came up out of my heart. Most of you heard it, but I need to say it. When I first started coming to a church like this, what do I mean church like this? A church that actually preached the Bible. I was blown away. I thought, my goodness, my whole life I grew up in a denominational church. Nothing against denominations, but the one I went to did not teach me the Bible. I thought, what in the world? Where's this been? And I came into a church like this, and for 5 weeks, you know, or 5 months, about sat in service. And went to a guest minister meeting, and I saw things in the guest minister meeting that was very uncomfortable to me. Laying on of hands. I heard tongues. People were rejoicing and actually happy in church. It wasn't like a funeral service. All these things rubbed my flesh the wrong way. Where we went to church, you all sucked out a lemon before you walked in. That's what it looked like anyways. Nobody was happy. Nobody was rejoicing. I mean, this, if they can, New Era Field up there in Orchard Park, They can rejoice and shout and jump up and down and do dances when they score a touchdown. Why can't we when we get to be saved from hell, for crying out loud, people? They don't think that's weird, but they think we're weird when we're excited about Jesus. I'm more happy that I don't have to burn for eternity and I can spend it with Him than a touchdown. Sorry. What's wrong with me? And I was in the four-night meeting, I believe it was, and the first three nights, I didn't receive a thing. It was so weird to my flesh, and I was about ready to run for the hills, but I was smart enough back then, which is shocking. I'm just telling you the truth. In 2002, I'm not too smart now, but man, I'm more than I was back then. And I was smart enough to know, wait a minute, I've been here for 5 months, and my pastor's never gone outside the boundaries of the Bible. He would never bring somebody in that would go outside the boundaries of the Bible. And I said to myself, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, there's things in the Bible I don't know yet. Yeah. That's what humility will do. Yeah. If you think you know it all, you're already deceived. You don't. You don't. There's way more you don't know than you do. Yeah. So I went home and got on my knees in my apartment in Water Street, Fidonia, New York. And I got on my knees and I said to the Lord, I said, Father, if this is you, at the end of these services, I'm going to make a meeting with my pastor. I'm not going to leave offended and mad and all grumpy and disgruntled. I'm going to make a meeting. And if it's in the Word, He's going to have to show it to me. So I said, if this is you, Father, I want you. I want more of you. And so for the next half hour, 45 minutes to an hour, I just said, Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want more of you. That's all I cried out, because I did. I wanted more of Him. I was tired of the status quo. Aren't you tired of the status quo? Jesus didn't die, come on the inside of you, step inside your body, the Spirit of God on the inside of you, for you to live the status quo. You're a child of the King. Children of the King don't live status quo. But people don't know or have a clue the power that's in them. Because we're never taught this. We're taught we're weak and the devil's powerful. We just got to hang on till we get to heaven. Garbage. So I said, I want more of you, Father. I want more of you. And I meant it. The next night of the meeting, last night of the meeting, same thing. The gentleman, it was a husband and wife team. The gentleman's preaching and he preaches, you think I can jump around and hop around and get veins and spit flying? I mean, this guy could do it. And he's preaching fire. It was awesome. And he stops the message in the middle of the message. And he walks down the aisle and he points to me in the middle of preaching out of the church, a couple hundred people. He says, you, stand out in the aisle. Oh, I thought, I'm never coming back to this place ever again. What in the world's happening? But I thought it'd be more of a spotlight on me if I didn't listen to him. So I just listened, got out in the aisle. And he got a serious look on his face and he pointed at me. He said, you want more of God, don't you? Oh, that's all I prayed. I said, either he heard from heaven or we got a peeping Tom on our hands. I'm guessing he heard from heaven. And what it did for me is I had an encounter with the supernatural. Remember when the Bible says when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, met Jesus on the road to Damascus, the Bible says a light hit him and he dropped to the ground? That minister said, be blessed to me. It felt like he took a baseball bat and hit me with it. The force of it, not the pain of it. I literally flew off my feet, was caught by the ushers and laid. This is someone that before is thinking this hall, this is, you know, granola section, fruity, flaky, and nutty. And I laid glued to the floor for the whole service. All my inhibitions and self-consciousness went out the door. I could not get off the floor. I had been knocked by the power of God. I asked my friends afterwards, how hard did he hit me? They said he didn't get within 2 feet of you. I had an encounter with God. Met with my pastor. Had him show me everything in the Word. Got a hunger and a desire for the supernatural. And from that moment on, everything began to change for Pastor Mike Anderson. The sicknesses began to fall off. The addictions began to fall off. The poverty began to go. The mental torment. I started walking in who I was in Jesus. Amen. But you know why? They walked no more with Him. Look at verse 67. I was like Peter. Jesus looked to the 12. He's only got 12 left now. Notice He wasn't like, oh, stop, I'll stop preaching that. Come back. I don't want the people down the road to think my church is smaller. He didn't care about numbers. And He's the greatest, most truthful, best preacher there's ever been. Never missed it. And they left Him. And He looks to the disciples and says, are you going too? And look what Peter says in verse 68. Peter answers and says, Lord, I love it. Whom shall we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. Why would we leave the Word? Yeah, it might be uncomfortable, but why in the world would we leave the Word? Amen. If we get caught up, ladies and gentlemen, I'm almost done. If we get caught up in things that make us uncomfortable, and we get caught up in things that well, I've never heard that before, that's not how so-and-so preached it, we're going to miss out on a whole lot. Think of what the disciples got to see, because they stayed with him. And think of the ones that left him, all they missed out on, because they got uncomfortable. You all remember Pastor Mike Anderson's one golf lesson he had? You know, I was a baseball player, so you take that baseball bat, you bring it to the golf, and it just doesn't work as well. I mean, you're hitting them off of the jingweeds. I mean, you're losing all sorts of balls, you know. And sometimes I'd connect real good on it, you know, and hit it far, but I was getting frustrated. So I made a call. I said, well, I'm going to go look at the one that knows what they're doing. I'm going to go to the pro. And the pro, the first thing he did, said, let me see you hit a golf ball. Well, I grabbed that club, you know, just like this, grabbed it, and there goes the ball there. There goes the ball there. He says, you played baseball, didn't you? I said, yeah, it's my favorite sport. That's the one I was good at. He said, you can't hold a golf club like a baseball bat. He said, come here. And he got behind me and grabbed my hands and started doing weird things with my fingers and thumbs and put them on the club and had me gripping like this and all sorts of weird stuff. And it felt so awkward. And I looked at him and said, I can't do this. It's uncomfortable for me. You know what he said to me? He said, he grabbed the club. He goes, watch this. Right down the center. It's like, you can stick with your uncomfort, and you can go back to your way if you want to. He says, but look where you hit it. Look where I hit it. He says, just try it. Okay, I mean, he's the pro. I did it, and I could not believe, just in changing my grip, how when I hit that ball, straight down the fairway. I don't have a problem with the eye-hand coordination. I mean, you could tell that looks like a pretty good golf swing. I mean, you could tell, right? I mean, look at that thing. Looks good, right? It's like holding the club. But what got me to over it? Okay, I'll get past my discomfort. I'll get past my what I think is right. I'm not the pro, he is. I'm losing all the balls and the sand traps and the water and the weeds. And so many Christians, they hear things. That's not what I was taught. That's not, yeah, but was what you taught in the Word? Or was it an opinion? Well, that's not what so-and-so said. Who cares about so-and-so? What's Jesus saying? Many disciples left Jesus from one sermon because they were uncomfortable with what he said. And they missed out on so much. I'll just tell this story in closing. And then I'm just going to, just a fast review on where we're going in the series to get you up to speed here. When the Lord told me to go to Bible school in Oklahoma, I was working out with my dad at a gym in Pennsylvania. It was a church that had a gym, and they had memberships you could get there. And I was on the treadmill, and the pastor knew that I was called to the ministry. I had talked to him a little bit. I had done some things with their youth department there. And he said to me, where are you going to school? I know you're called to the ministry. I told him, he said, oh, he said, that's that Bible school that believes in divine healing. I said, it is. He says, well, you know, divine healing's not biblical. I thought, what do you mean it's not biblical? I'm like, okay, well, tell me what scriptures tell me that it's not biblical. You can't find any. The Old Testament Jews, in the covenant with God, go back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessings, how many of them were for physical healing. He's Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus 15, he says, I am the Lord that heals you. Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. Psalms 103, verse 3, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits, who forgives your iniquities and heals your diseases. Amen. The Old Testament people had a covenant of healing. Do you think we get less as children of God? No. We can go over and over this, and I'm waiting for the scriptures. And you know what he tells me? I say, Pastor, what do you mean that's divine healing's not in the Bible? He says, well, Sister so-and-so is so faithful in my church. She said she was the most faithful person I had. She served in all the departments. She was the sweetest lady, most generous lady. And she died of cancer. I said, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry to hear that. He said, and I'm thinking to myself, what's my point? Well, he tells me what his point is. If she can't get healed, then nobody can get healed. And I thought to myself, oh. So you judge God's word based on circumstances. Because if I do that with salvation, the Bible says that God's will is that nobody perishes. But guess what's happening every single day? People are walking right into hell. Hell is a real place. But yet the Bible says it's God's will that nobody perish, but yet people are perishing by the hundreds and the thousands. So you could look at that and say, people are perishing. Must not be God's will for everybody to be saved. You can't judge God's will by circumstances and what people experience. And he saw a woman in his church that he loved and cared about that died of cancer. And God didn't heal her. And so now he just throws the whole thing out. Dangerous. What if Pastor Mike would have listened to me? Because you know what he tried to do? Tried to get me to go to his Bible school. You know the story. I left to go to Oklahoma in a 2000 pickup, Nissan pickup, 200,000 miles, 1990 is what it was. Nissan pickup, threw a snowball right through it. That's how rusty it was. 200,000 miles on that thing. No money, no family members helped me. Why? I'm the druggie. I'm the guy that quit 26 jobs in 2 years. Now I got saved and all of a sudden I'm going to be a preacher. No one was helping me. And so I left to go to Bible school. Left everything comfortable to follow what the Lord told me to do. No money. Hardly a vehicle to get there. Knew nobody when I got there. Had to get a full-time job to go to school full-time to get there just to skimp by with one nostril above the water. And he offers me. He says, don't go to that Bible school. Go to my Bible school. Upstate New York. He says, go there. He said, I'll pay your way. You won't have to work when you're there. I'll give you spending money. He said, you can come home on the weekends because it's close enough, and you can come home in the summertime. You don't have to stress out and work. He said, and we'll sign a contract when you leave, and when you come back, you can be the director of my youth department once you graduate from school. And here's your salary. You tell me what sounds good to the flesh. The deer hunting in Oklahoma stinks. That was the main problem for me. You know, I just don't want to leave my archery hunting, amongst other things. Obviously, I'm being facetious here, but the comfort level. Had I listened to him and taken that route and not listened to the Holy Ghost and went to his Bible school, you know what his Bible school teaches? It's not God's will to heal everybody. Well, when Pastor Mike Anderson, a few years back, was laying on his deathbed because my appendix had ruptured, and it was ruptured in my body for 3 days, and the poison went through me, and the doctors couldn't believe I was still alive, and a normal appendectomy, you're out of the hospital in 1 or 2 days, I was in the hospital for over 2 weeks. And the doctor said, you really did a number on yourself. And I couldn't move. I had so many things wrong with me. I was so sick. And the doctor said, there are things because you waited so long. See, I didn't know that it had ruptured. I thought something good had happened because it felt good when it ruptured, you know, and then the poison went through my body. And after 3 days, I went in and collapsed on the emergency room floor. And they took that thing out. And the doctor said, it's the worst appendix they ever saw. And I'm laying there, and the doctors come in, and I can't move, and I'm sick as could be. And it's touch and go for a while, you know. And they say, there's things you've done to your body you'll never be free from. You did some irreversible damage, is what they told me. And they said, and there's some of those symptoms you're experiencing in your body right now, they won't start to go for a whole year. Well, I'll tell you what the result would have been like. Do you remember over there in Mark chapter 5 with the woman with the issue of blood? She came to Jesus. She had an incurable blood disease for 12 years. She came to Jesus, and what happened? She got healed. But what did Jesus say to her? Daughter, your faith made you whole. Remember blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, sitting by the highway side begging? He gets healed, and what did Jesus say to him? Blind Bartimaeus, your faith did this. What does Mark 9:23 say? If you can believe it, all things are possible. It's not up to him. He already says, if you can believe it, anything's possible. It's up to you, because he can do anything. He's powerful, but if you can believe it, that's the problem. People can't believe it. So I'm laying there hearing this stuff. Had I went to his Bible school, because how does faith come? Well, we know how faith comes in Romans 10, by hearing and hearing the word. You hear the word, faith comes. Well, if you don't hear the word on healing, guess what you don't have faith for? Healing. And if you hear the word that they twist that say that healing is not God's will, then you have faith that God doesn't even want to heal you. And I'd have laid there and said, oh, I guess that's what I have to take. But I didn't go to that Bible school. I went to the Bible school that was uncomfortable for me to go to. And I heard about the healing doctrine. And I got healing on the inside of me. And so when they told me that, I said, yep, that's what the doctors say, but that ain't what my God says. Amen. That ain't what the word says. That ain't what you said, Father. How did I know it? Because I heard it. And I laid there and said, that ain't going to be the case. In the name of Jesus, I will rise from this bed and all these symptoms will leave my body according to what you said in the Word. Not what I think. I can't, no hocus pocus magic here. What does the Word said? He said in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3, you look it up, David wrote it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and, everyone say and, healeth all thy diseases. I said, I take Psalms 103, verse 3, I take you at your word, Father. I don't care what the doctors say. I only care what you say. I will rise, and I did. A few months later, every symptom is gone in my body. And I stroll into the doctor's office, and they're looking at me sideways. What in the world? God is good. And His Word is true. But my point is, had I left and gone to the comfort place, and if you don't stick around for this series that I am telling you, the worst thing that you're going to do is you're going to waste 4 to 5 weeks of your life, realize that pastor lied to me, don't ever come back here again, and spread rumors about me. Go ahead and do it. No one's going to force you to stay here, but I am promising you, if you will stick this series out, you will see things in here that will blow your mind away. And you'll wonder, that's always been in my Bible? Why hasn't that preacher told me? Why didn't so-and-so tell me? And it'll change your life and your whole world will change. I'm just telling you, you wait and see, it'll happen. Because it happened for me and it's happened to so many people. These people amening so loud, it's because they know. They know it's happened to them. And the Holy Ghost had me to preach this series going forward in the beginning of January because He wants to do some things for you guys. Amen. There's power that you need. And so again, in closing, I'll just say this. We're going to look at the series on what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is this weird tongues business? We're going to see it clearly in the Word. We're going to see that it's clearly a separate experience. We're going to see that it's available to everybody. We're going to see exactly what the Bible defines as speaking in tongues. What is it? When is it for? Because again, it can be so weird if you don't know. We're going to see, did it pass away in Bible times? We're going to see what the naysayers say, the scriptures that they use, they see, because they'll pull out things and say, oh, on the surface it looks like that can't be, but maybe if you read the verse before and the verse after... God didn't put things in here to confuse us. He had to make it simple for a dummy like me. And I'm not just saying it to belittle myself. I need to understand this stuff. So, going forward, next week, what we're going to look at next week, I am going to show you, because so many people say, I got all the Holy Ghost I ever need when I got saved. The disciples didn't get all the Holy Ghost they ever got when they got saved. Jesus said, there's something more you need. And I will show you, not in one place, not in two places, not in three places, multiple places that show us in the Bible there's a separate experience apart from salvation that the Lord wants you to have. But don't take my word for it. Come back and hear the Word. Amen? Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful for the Word tonight. Father, thank you for the patience of the people. I went a little bit long, but Father, there's just some things that needed to be said. So Father, I thank you that you helped me say them. And Lord, I thank you that those that are hungry, that will see, hey, nothing he shared tonight wasn't in the Bible. Didn't twist anything tonight. I'm going to see if it's for real. Father, the people that will see in the Word and will stick to the Word, not their flesh, not their minds, not traditions, not opinions, not philosophies, not theories, they will walk into things and they will grow and they will experience blessings and they will experience a great increase in their life that you have for them. Father, I wonder what would have happened to the disciples had they not listened to you. And they departed and they said, oh, we don't want that Holy Ghost business, Jesus. We just want to go out and start telling people about you. Oh, they'd have been void of the power and their life would have looked different. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this would be branded into every person's heart. That even if their flesh would say, this is so uncomfortable, if their mind would say, what in the world did I get myself into? In their heart of hearts, they would know that this is the Bible. And Lord, that there's something more, there's something more, there's something greater to be had with you. Father, that's my heart's cry for people. I just want people helped and blessed. I'm not trying to make my church look a certain way or sound a certain way. I just want people walking in light of your word. That is their help. with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. I'm pretty confident that all of us in this room are born-again believers. But if by chance there's someone that isn't, or if they're listening by live stream now or in the future via the archive, and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's the way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. You don't get there by good works. Your bad works can't keep you out. You can't get there by money. It's through Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you're here tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, church attendance doesn't get you in. Being a good person doesn't, so don't let yourself think that you made it because of those things. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody asks themselves this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Oh, and I ask myself that question. I know the answer is yes, because I've cooperated with His word. I did what He said. And real quick, again, not expecting to see hands here tonight, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to be sure. Is there anybody in here you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to do that? Don't let another moment pass you by. Lift your hand high in the air. Is there anyone at all? I see that hand. You can put your hand down. Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. I'm not going to embarrass you, have you come forward, stand up, or standing on your own. But I want you to know, that person that raised their hand, if there's anyone listening right now and you say, I want to be included in this, won't you pray this? He's so faithful. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you have a bad week, a bad month, a bad 6 months, just repent. He didn't take your salvation away. But for that person that raised your hand, and for anybody else maybe that's listening online, you want to get involved in this, it's not the raising of your hand that gets you saved. It's the believing with your heart and the confessing with your mouth. So that person that raised your hand, you have one thing left to do. You need to invite Jesus in. I won't embarrass you. We're all going to pray the prayer with you. But I encourage you to repeat this after me, but mean it. Mean it when you say it. We're going to invite Him into your heart. So that person that raised their hand, along with everybody else in the church and those listening online that want to receive Jesus, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that You died on the cross. And I believe that You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says the angels rejoice when someone receives Jesus. And so we're grateful for that. And we just encourage all of you going forward before I close the service here. Be a person of the Word of God. If it's not here, find a church that teaches the Bible. Plant in that church. Hear the Word, do the Word, and watch your life be blessed. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we're just so grateful. Let's begin to praise Him and thank Him. Father, we love You so much. We thank You for the Word. We thank You for where we're going. We thank You for helping us. Lord, I pray that You keep everybody safe as they go. Angels, go before them and bear them up in Your hands, lest they dash their foot against a stone. We declare that no evil will befall them and no plague will come near their dwelling. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We'll see you Tuesday. You're dismissed.
So we search for you, Lord. We seek you.
In the